This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. We have included only a brief description of the figures and tables and removed all references, citations, data in parentheses, appendices, acknowledgments, footnotes, and endnotes. The full text is available in HTML, PDF, and EPUB formats at www.erodl.org. January 2012. International Review of Research in Open and Distance Learning. The title of this article is, Challenges of Virtual and Open Distance Science Teacher Education in Zimbabwe. The authors are Vangai Mpofu, Tendalb Samukenj, Lovemore M. Kisser, Tinoidzwa M. Zinyandu, Clever Denhare, Nyakodio Huggins, Chingham Wiseman, Shakespeare Nidlavu, Renias Chiva, Monica Madevire, Lexan Mukavi, Isaac Wazangu, Elliot Magam, Munyaranti Magamalo, Fungi Sithole, Bindura University of Science Education, Buse, Zimbabwe. Abstract. This paper reports on a study of the implementation of science teacher education through virtual and open distance learning in the Mashonaland Central Province, Zimbabwe. The study provides insight into challenges faced by students and lecturers on inception of the program at four centers. Data was collected from completed evaluation survey forms of 42 lecturers who were directly involved at the launch of the program and in-depth interviews. Qualitative data analysis revealed that the program faces potential threat from center, institution, lecturer, and student-related factors. These include limited resources, large classes, inadequate expertise in open and distance education, inappropriate science teacher education qualifications, implementer conflict of interest in program participation, students' low self-esteem, lack of awareness of quality parameters of delivery systems among staff, and lack of standard criteria to measure the quality of services. The paper recommends that issues raised be addressed in order to produce quality teachers. Background. The Millennium Development Goal, MDG, of Education for All, EFA, is clear testimony that education is recognized as a key development concern. However, the realization of the EFA goal is threatened by several challenges faced by the education sectors across the globe. One of the major challenges facing the education sector is the severe shortage of science teachers, particularly in developing countries. UNESCO estimated that between 15 and 35 million new teachers are required globally by 2015. 25% of this global teacher demand is needed in Africa. This high teacher demand has been created mainly by HIV/AIDS attrition and out-of-profession teacher migration. In Zimbabwe, the economic meltdown of the past decade has triggered one of the worst episodes of technical skills drainage. Science teachers mainly have migrated to other countries in great numbers in search of better working conditions. This has exacerbated the major obstacle in science education in Africa and particularly Zimbabwe in an era when it has been recognized that teacher education lies at the heart of all development. The need to train large numbers of science teachers in Zimbabwe has never been more critical than now. In Zimbabwe, this challenge is amplified by the significant numbers of untrained science teachers currently deployed in schools as relief teachers. These relief teachers need access to professional training opportunities urgently. Bindura University of Science Education, BUS, is the sole institution in Zimbabwe whose name carries the mandate of science education. It was established as Bindura University College of Science Education, BUCSE, in 1996 to replace the then just ended Zimbabwe-Cuba Science Teacher Training Program. Since then, the university enjoyed a steady increase in the science student teacher enrollment up to 2003. Thereafter, the science student teacher enrollment went down drastically to unsustainable levels by 2009. This scenario has threatened the university's fulfillment of its mandate. Upon recognizing that the large numbers of trained science teachers the nation currently needs cannot be achieved through traditional conventional training, BUS launched an institutionally born intervention project named Virtual and Open Distance Learning, VODL, in Mashonaland Central Province. This national program was initially started in August 2010 at four centers covering five districts of Mashonaland Central Province. The VODL program goal is to train post-secondary school students and certificate diploma in education holders to attain diplomas or degrees in science education. The students recruited in the VODL program include practicing science teachers, relief and non-graduate, and non-practicing people with prerequisite qualifications who had no access to university education. Deterrents to university teacher education include high entry requirements and high cost of education in an era when Zimbabwe has undergone difficult economic times for more than a decade. The project has been initiated at a time when every nation is in pursuit of EFA, making it quite significant. The VODL program is guided by the assumptions of taking university education to the doorstep of the student at an affordable cost and factoring in the bridging aspect to students who meet the minimum entry requirements for our degree programs but without ordinary level mathematics. Statement of the problem. VODL is a research and development-based project designed to meet the high demand of science teachers in Zimbabwe by extending access to science teacher education. Although there have been previous studies on distance education in Zimbabwe and other nations, the unique focus of the VODL project on science teachers calls for empirical evidence that explores the perceptions of students and lecturers of the program. The study is guided by the following three questions. What are the challenges of the VODL project? What are the sources of these challenges? How can these challenges be overcome? Significance of the problem. The findings of the study are important to views as the proprietor of the program, in view of Kirk and Dembele's caution that short-term responses to teacher shortages can ensure that every classroom has a teacher but raise concerns about their impact on the quality of teaching and learning. Therefore, the study sought to inform program stakeholders on challenges to expect and enable empirically informed decisions on implementation strategies. Furthermore, the study would enrich the existing theory and knowledge base on distance learning, and in particular contribute towards the literature base on open and distance science teacher education in Zimbabwe and the world at large. Research methodology. Context of study. The study was conducted in August 2010 at the four centers during the three-week residential session of the program launch. The period was university vacation and school holiday. Three of the centers are high schools established as district VODL centers. The other center is a youth training institution. As a BU's initiative, the programs and courses offered are under the auspices of the Faculty of Science Education, FSE. Center coordinators are responsible for center administration and report to the program coordinator. Teaching services were offered by lecturers from the FSE and the Faculty of Agriculture and Environment Science, FAES, at BU's. A cohort of 1,296 students pioneered in the program. During semester 1 of Block 1, S1B1, the students attended a three-week learner support residential session. The balance of the semester was to be covered in the next school holiday block referred to as S1B2 in December 2010. During the residential session, students attended lectures and consulted their lecturers from Monday to Saturday. Students did assignments and in-class tests which contribute to their coursework. At the end of residential session they received assignments to work on during school time. Research design. A mixed methodology research paradigm was adopted in the study for complementary purposes and to capture the different facets of the study. Participants. All 42 lecturers who were involved in the teaching of the residential session participated in this study. Data collection. Paper and pencil survey, interviews, and document analysis were the different methods triangulated in the collection of data. This was done in line with Cresswell's contention that triangulation is important because the methods in data collection complement each other in such a way that overlapping and different facets of the phenomena under study emerge. This ensures high probability of the trustworthiness of the findings. A total of 42 participants completed self-designed and administered survey forms in the third week of the residential session. The survey instrument consisted of semi-structured questions. The participants were asked to complete the survey and their feedback was guaranteed confidentiality. Open-ended interviews with six identified key informants were conducted. The open nature of the interviews allowed probing and assessment of the participants' views and feelings. The duration for the interviews was between 20 to 30 minutes. Interview discussions were tape-recorded to capture the audio discussions. These allowed the researcher to gain in-depth meanings from the nonverbal cues, which were captured by means of field notes. Documents analyzed included the University Act, program regulations, program minutes, supervision reports, center reports, teaching timetable, and lecturers' and students' records. Data analysis and presentation. The data from the survey was analyzed using Statistical Package for Social Sciences SPSS version 17. Interviews were transcribed and the resultant data was content analyzed to describe and interpret their meaning and then organized into emerging themes. All data from the documents, interviewees, and survey respondents were compared, integrated, and pooled together to address the research questions. The findings are presented in a descriptive form supported by some descriptive statistics and direct extracts from field notes and interview transcripts. The data is presented in the form of tables, charts, and graphs. Findings. The findings of this study revealed the following challenges: center, institution, staff, and student related. Center challenges. The greater parts of Meshnal and Central Province are rural areas. Three of the VODL centers were connected to electricity, but the power was not always available 24 hours per day, due to power outages. The centers had electric generators, but the center budgets could not sustain the expense of diesel fuel to power the machines throughout the working day. The fourth center had a vandalized electrical grid. However, this center was able to run its generator for the three-week residential session daily. The problem of electricity created problems of integration of ICT tools, email, fax, internet, television, radio, etc. into the VODL program. The basic communication infrastructure to enable VODL to make use of these technologies is not in place at the centers. The residential session centers currently lack enough laboratory space to cope with the demand of practical subject training. Only one center, 25%, has physics, chemistry, computer science, and biology laboratories. These laboratories have a carrying capacity of 15 to 25 students per session. Though the buildings are in place, they lack equipment, apparatus, and consumables for practicals. Limited electricity supply meant that teaching and learning was done without the support of ICT most of the time. Poor physical infrastructure and limited resources promoted the use of traditional teaching approaches. No practical work was conducted, except a practical component for computer science at one center during the first residential session, divorcing theory from practice. The first residential session promoted procedural learning rather than conceptual learning. Other resources which were in short supply included reading material, stationery, and furniture. The challenge of resource limitation was summed up by one of the interviewees, who lamented that, "We were excited about the program. However, our first residential session had lots of things need to be taken into consideration for the program to be a success. These include lack of resources for practical work, limited teaching resources like stationery, reading material for students, and furniture. Imagine, some of the classrooms we used as lecture rooms did not even have boards to write on. Library facilities had limited textbooks and some of them irrelevant. I had no preparation time as I was loaded during the day and no electricity for lighting at night." Institution challenges. The majority, 93.3%, of lecturers cited that too many courses were offered during S1B1. Diploma students were enrolled in the following options: biology, geography and agriculture, BGA, mathematics, physics and computer science, MPCs, and then chemistry, physics and biology, CPB. All students registered for education courses which included educational foundations, philosophy, sociology, and psychology, and communications. Teaching practice referred to at this institution as Applied Science Education, ASE, was to be introduced. Candidates without an ordinary level mathematics pass were offered a bridging course. This translated to a diploma student doing a total of 9 courses without a bridging course and 10 courses if a mathematics bridging course was included, 6 courses per combination, namely 3 education courses and 1 ordinary level mathematics bridging course. All participants, 100.0% concurred that this residential session was short, packed with a congested timetable which ran from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. from Monday through Saturday. There was a half-hour and a 1-hour tea and lunch break per day. The major challenge for the lecturers was overload, with some teaching 6 hours per day for 6 days a week. The centers were paired to enable the teaching of same courses at 2 centers for 1.5 weeks per center and exchange thereafter. For example, for diploma courses in chemistry at 2 paired centers, general chemistry was taught at 1 center, whilst at the center paired to it, laboratory techniques was being taught. This caused comprehension problems for the students who started with a higher level course. On average, 35% of the theory course content was covered during the S1B1 residential session, as reported by the majority, 67.7% of the lecturers. No planning for practical work was done, as reflected by the absence of practical work slots on the timetable, and as a result, no practical work was done. The VODL curriculum, courses on offer, was adopted from the conventional programs and courses. This means that the curriculum was not adapted to the needs of the program. One interviewee offered the following reflection: "The departmental individualistic approach to teaching made it difficult for students to understand abstract things, especially considering their background. However, this can easily be overcome if we harmonize courses where possible. Those that communicate, courses that are related, should be combined at the same time. In some cases, diploma courses we offered are conventional undergraduate courses. The implication is that students were challenged by cognitive overload, which refers to mental blackout as a result of learning new, varied, and complex content, which challenges conceptual understanding of the material presented. Furthermore, students had very little time to access library services during the day. During the night, students had no time to access the library due to power outages. Staff challenges. Figure 1. Showing lecturers' qualifications. Please refer to a text version of this article to view the figure. The majority, 90% of lecturers who participated in the S1B1 are BU's FSE employees, whilst the remaining proportion was engaged on a part-time basis. Approximately 32% of the first residential session lecturers are first degree holders in pursuit of master's degree qualifications, about 67.95% have master's degrees, and a significantly smaller number, 0.05%, are PhD holders. Figure 2. Showing an evaluation of teaching areas. Please refer to a text version of this article to view the figure. Quite a significant proportion of lecturers, 23.5%, was teaching in areas not quite relevant to their area of specialization. In addition, all the lecturers, 100%, have a full load of conventional teaching. The aforesaid leads to underperformance of duties as a result of time constraints and course knowledge limitations. 32% of lecturers have not been trained as science educators. This insufficiency was reflected in the lack of quality instruction, as reported by one interviewee. Some lecturers had content depth and coverage problems, especially to teaching diploma students. Some of the students have already said gijo gerjike, meaning teaching content should be adjusted to match the students' learning styles and the study level. Figure 3. Showing the teaching experience of the lecturers in different instructional modes. Please refer to a text version of this article to view the figure. Most of the lecturers, 90.0%, have 1 to 3 years university conventional teaching, and 97.5% have no experience in distance education. 75% of those who lectured educational foundation courses have no science-related background. Insufficient university conventional teaching experience, limited pedagogical knowledge, and limited science qualification promoted the use of traditional classroom practices, which are not appropriate for quality learning in the program. This may create frustrations in students and eventually lead them to drop out. The nation's current economic situation and its effects on most Zimbabweans have made the cost of living very high. University lecturers in Zimbabwe earn far below their counterparts in Southern African Development Community nations' universities. The regional salary levels, which are notably above the average regional poverty datum level, motivate them or raise their professional dedication. It is likely that most of the lecturers have joined lectureship in order to get better pay. More so, the participation in the VODL program, for the majority, was dysfunctionally construed as an opportunity to make money. One of the interviewees is quoted as saying, "The lecturers were excited, especially with the idea of getting an extra allowance. It's really just disappointing that some of them were not content with the allowance. They sold notes to the students. I don't know what is wrong. Why could they not bear with the economic situation of the VODL students?" The other challenge associated with the aforementioned drawback is the absence of program quality assurance benchmarks and systems. Student challenges. Figure 4. Showing diploma in science education students' attributes. Please refer to a text version of this article to view the figure. The majority, 76.5% of the students are enrolled in the Diploma in Science Education, DIP-SEED, VODL program. The educational background of DIP-SEED students is a minimum of 5 O-level passes, including a science subject and English language. 68% of these students do not have a pass in O-level mathematics and are doing it as a bridging course. Most, 88% of the DIP-SEED students have more than 3 O-level sittings. Such an educational background results in feelings of low self-efficacy, stress, and cognitive overload, especially where complex and diversified content is presented within a short space of time. Such effects are worse in learners at advanced ages, which range from 23 to 54 years, with several of them having a primary level relief teaching experience. 35.7% had above 5 years of relief teaching experience. This observation is substantiated by what one of the interviewees said. The background of most students contributed much to lapses and time wastage. Their academic level and stamina required caused us to go down to low levels and then take them up gradually. But this was impossible considering the amount of content we needed to cover during the residential session. The Bachelor of Science in Education, BSEd, students, 23.5% have better O-level results and higher qualifications, with either 2 subjects at advanced level or a certificate diploma in secondary or primary education, than the DIP-SEED students. However, such a diversified background is problematic to instruction, taking cognizance of the weak pedagogical content knowledge of the lecturers. Over 75.0% of the students enrolled in the first VODL cohort are contract teachers on relief teaching in primary and secondary schools. The remaining proportion of the students was unemployed or employed in non-teaching jobs and a variety of unskilled jobs. Their main purpose for enrolling in the program was conveyed in one of the interviews. "You see, relief teaching is a source of income for those who have not done so well at O-level. They consider it as a last resort as the ministry is in high demand of teachers. This program to them guarantees continuous employment as they do not have to queue for it on termly basis." The preceding expression evidences a high probability that these students, especially the DIP-SEED ones, have turned to the program and teaching in particular for the employment opportunities and the regular income it offers at the present moment rather than for professional reasons. The drawback associated with such a scenario is the resulting poor attitudes, including lack of commitment, resourcefulness, self-discipline, and self-management, among others, which may cause students to drop out when the going gets tough. Other student-related problems include financial costs of study, disruption of family life, lack of stakeholder support, and rural operating environment. Discussion, implications, and recommendations. Problems encountered during the S1B1 residential session were many and varied. There are several ways of categorizing these challenges. One way adopted in this study is the categorizing of the challenges into center, institution, staff, and student-related. Whilst the residential session is meant to provide student-lecturer face-to-face interactive opportunities, which are lacking in most distance education programs, it becomes imperative that the center's physical infrastructures, equipment, and furniture be supportive to the intensive learning. Institutional support helps to alleviate distance learners and insecurities related to center context. The literature is rich with the problems of attrition associated with distance learning. Whilst numerous studies cite myriad and complex reasons for attrition, Simonson et al. Refer to Garland's ethnographic study finding that a poor learning environment and a lack of time are the major determinant to high attrition rate. The current resource statuses of residential session centers are likely to depress the enrolled students and cause attrition as well as deter prospective program students. Though the program has the potential to sustain itself, at this infant stage it requires substantial funding to inject it with the highly needed resources. The management needs to appraise all the critical stakeholders and partner with them in the program in order to build a strong resource base. The virtual component of the program calls for intensified efforts to integrate ICT learning. The resource-constricted conventional curriculum adapted to the VODL program presents a number of study mode and compatibility problems the conventional content curriculum demands: limited resources, lectures, limited pedagogical content knowledge, and short residential session, among others, orient lesson delivery towards traditional teaching instruction. A research study by Sequibel and Munger concurs with aforesaid concern that lecturers who are trained for conventional instruction at primary, secondary, or tertiary educational settings lack distant education teaching experience and use pedagogy that borrows heavily from traditional classroom practices. Traditional teaching approaches promote rote learning and develop cognitive overload and resistance in students. According to Rubinju, use of traditional teaching strategies defeats the purpose of context-based learning. In view of the foregoing discussion, all those involved in the VODL teacher education program should be equipped with skills and knowledge of productive distance education teaching. The institutions have to provide frameworks for VODL operations to curb unethical practices. Restructuring of the ways in which teaching and learning are delivered and regular curriculum review to suit the nature of the program becomes fundamental for its goal to be realized. Generally, distance learners, more often than not, have insecurities about learning grounded in personal, residential session, center, and institutional factors. The center, institution, and staff-related VODL program challenges revealed in this study added pressure on the student. Such pressure often results in dropouts. According to Campbell, as cited by Nyondo, age, maturity, and learning styles impact the learning process of the distance student. In this regard, use of emphasis is proper selection of learners with desirable characteristics for distance learning programs. Therefore, overcoming distance learning pressure is heavily dependent on individual characteristics. The characterization of the VODL students presented in this study reflects that they need a lot of economic, social, and resource support if they are to withstand the program pressure. It becomes imperative that these students be attached to study mentors to offer them guidance, time management techniques, and initiatives to encourage them to progress. The success of the program heavily lies with issues of monitoring and evaluation, ME, of the program for quality assurance. Valid and reliable ME performance frameworks should be in place, known, and well understood by all program stakeholders and then rigorously applied in the implementation of the VODL program. This will not only ensure a quality product but market the program for possible expansion beyond Zimbabwean borders. Conclusion. The VODL program has incredible potential to supply secondary schools in Zimbabwe and beyond with the much-needed large numbers of science educators. The complementary aspects of student-lecturer face-to-face interaction during residential sessions and learner independence and responsibility in between residential sessions make this particular program innovative to science teacher education. These unique features provide a basis for the development of theoretical models for quantity and quality science educator demand-driven programs. The program also provides an effective step towards democratization of science education. Further, it is a basis for providing science teacher education through lifelong learning opportunities. If successfully implemented, this VODL mode of science teacher education program has unique features that other nations may incorporate in their science educator programs as a way of addressing the science educator shortage. This is in line with the recommendation made by Osborne and Dillian. However, the university, residential session, institution, lecturer, and student challenges highlighted in the study have serious repercussions on the quality of the program and need to be addressed. The VODL program goals will be achieved if proper steps to address the challenges revealed in the study are taken. The steps to be taken may include the following: setting up induction, orientation, and in-service programs for lecturers. Recruitment of full-time course coordinators with relevant experience and expertise. Provision of weekend sessions for both academic and non-academic dialogues to cater for students' learning needs. Finally, there is a need to put into place research-driven curriculum modification to enhance the quality of the program. This is the end of the article, Challenges of Virtual and Open Distance Science Teacher Education in Zimbabwe. The text format is available on the IRODL website, www.irodl.org. Goodbye.